Okay, everyone, if you could open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, we've got one verse today. I encourage you to bring your own Bible to church so that you're able to take notes, make markings. Also, if you're not able to, we have Bibles available to you. If you would like your own copy, if you don't have one, we'll be happy to provide you with one free of charge. And also, you've got it there in your pews in front of you, and then I'll have it up on the screen. Just one verse, so we're going to read it together. It's only one verse, so let's make it good. Okay. You ready? Let's read. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's do it one more time. Ready to go. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Amen to that. Hebrews 13, verse 8. We're speaking on the subject today of, does God change? Does God change? Serious trouble here. I have a friend who is a teacher here in Japan, and he works alongside a Japanese faculty staff. Faculty at his school are mostly Japanese. And it's known that he is a Christian in the school. And one of his co-workers recently came up to him and asked him the question about scripture, about the Bible. And he relayed to him a story about how he felt about scripture. He told my friend that his mother was actually a Christian. She is Catholic. And that she had a Bible in her house, and so one year he happened to be curious about the Bible, so he started to read it. And he read it from the beginning until the end. And he thought it was a good book, but there was a question that he had for my friend, who was a Christian. He says, you know, you say you're a Christian, so maybe you know about the Bible. And I've read the Bible, he said. And when I read it, I felt that the God in the Old Testament seems to be different than the God that's in the New Testament. He said that in the Old Testament, he would read how God shows how he's holy and mighty and awesome. But he felt that God in the Old Testament was angry, or he was vengeful, or that he was very judgmental. And then when he read the New Testament, it seemed that it was a different God. It seemed that God, Jesus came saying that he was God, and that God was kind of, nice, not so angry, kind, compassionate, sweet, generous. And so the question he asked my friend was, what do you think? Do you think that God is different from the Old Testament and in the New Testament? Did God change? Does God change? And hopefully we're going to get this thing working. If not, we'll just have to, we'll have to go the old-fashioned way. Does God change? It's true. I mean, when you think about it, the Old Testament, it's just got a lot of history of God flooding people, attacking people with armies, locusts, there's plagues, diseases. And then you get past the history and you go into the prophets. That's really fun reading, isn't it? With God promising judgment and all these things, foreign armies coming to attack Israel. And then, you know, Jesus comes to the scene 400 years after the end of the Old Testament. You know, there's lots of healing, feeding, and new life, and promises of newness. So, you know, what's the deal? What happened? Did God change? But that's the question that's very interesting because, I mean, if God changes, if God is different from the Old to the New Testament, well, how about God now? Has he changed then? It's been about 2,000 years. If he has changed from the Old to the New Testament, how about after the New Testament is written? What kind of a God are we going to get today? I mean, the God that we see in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, is he the same God that we pray to today? If God changes, then who are we praying to? Who is this God now? And who is this God going to be tomorrow? Does God change? Well, the question, the answer that I think my friend should give to his coworker, and I think that we can have when we are confronted with this issue, is number one, God is not angry. God is not vengeful. God is not judgmental. We'll get to does it change in a minute. But it's very clear that Scripture teaches that God is not angry. It says in Psalms chapter 86, God is slow to anger. He's a kind, compassionate, and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love. But what's with all the plagues, and what's with all the armies, and what's with all the prophecy and the doom? Well, one thing is clear about God, and that is he is a just God. God is just. And by just, I mean God is fair. God is fair. Our word justice comes from the word just. God is fair. God will give to each man according to what he has done. Scripture is very clear that what a man reaps, he will sow. If a man reaps in righteousness, he will sow eternal life. Excuse me. If a man sows righteousness, he will reap eternal life. If a man sows unrighteousness, he will reap death. God is a just God, and he will give each man according to what he deserves. And Jesus himself says that. I would give you that scripture. However, we're having problems with our computer today. It'll come back in a minute, I hope. But the first thing we need to understand is God is not angry, but he is just. He is fair. Down there. The second thing is, yes, in the Old Testament, we see lots of places where God is showing his justice. showing that when people live unrighteously, in sin, when they disobey him, he will judge them in fairness. He will give them what they deserve. But you know what? There's just as much evidence in the New Testament that God is fair and God is just. And just as he is in the Old Testament, fair and judging rightly, it also is clear in the New Testament. And Jesus said it many times that, look, yes, there's people that you should fear. If you want to fear people, that's fine. But you know what? There is somebody who can destroy both your body and your soul and send it to hell. In fact, Jesus even uses the word hell over 14 times in the New Testament to show that, yes, God is just as he is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Jesus says clearly that God is going to reward you. He's going to reward every man according to what he deserves. So God does not change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But how about the other way around? In the New Testament, God seems to look like he's so nice and sweet, forgiving and kind. Well, how about in the Old Testament? The same is true. But in the Old Testament, you'll find everything from Genesis to Malachi that God is slow to anger, abounding in love, full of compassion and grace. He's willing to forgive easily to anyone who would seek his face and to repent of their sins. This is the God that we serve. And you can do a search for the word compassion in the Old Testament. Over 140 times. Shows that God is slow to anger, full of compassion. So did God change from the New Testament to the Old Testament, from the Old Testament to the New Testament? No. He doesn't change. God's character is consistent. God has loved you from the very beginning, and his love will never change. God is eternal. God has no beginning and has no end. God is perfect. And so, there is nothing new that you can give to God. There is nothing new that God can learn. Because if there is, then he wouldn't be perfect. And there is also nothing that you can take away from God. There is nothing that God can remove from himself that he needs to. Because he does not change. He is eternal. God does not need to change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. And it's true that when we feel that God has changed, that maybe we have sinned or that we have done something that does not deserve the love of God, when we do things to remove ourselves from God's compassion, that's the feeling that we may have. But that's not the truth. The truth is that God's love for us will never change. Whether we are good, whether we are bad, God will still love us. God will still pour out his grace upon us. God will still be slow to anger, abounding in love. And so that is a simple encouragement I have for us today. Well, what about the scriptures that says that God changes, or God repented, or God relented? And there are those scriptures that say that. One of the very popular ones is in the book of Exodus, where God says, you know what? Israel has rejected me. And so Moses, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to reject Israel. And I'm going to wipe them out. But for you, Moses, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to start over with you. And so Moses sees what God is about to do. God, no, please, don't do that. Not for your sake, not for your reputation. Please, based on your abounding love, according to your compassion, have mercy on your people. And it says that God repented. does that mean? God repented. God changed his mind. He says he's going to do something. But then he argues with Moses for a little bit, and he changed his mind. What is that? And there's actually a few places in the scriptures, about 8 or 9, where it says God repented. Again, in the book of Jonah, God is going to send Jonah to the city of Nineveh. Jonah says, "Oh, come on, don't let me go there." And eventually, after a little bit with a whale, Jonah ends up going to Nineveh. Jonah says to Nineveh, 3 days, and God is going to wipe out this city. And then Nineveh repents. They believe Jonah, and they say, "God, don't do it, please." And they fast, and they pray, and they turn from their ways, and they give their lives to God. And again, it says, God repented. God relented. What is that? Well, it's very important to understand the word itself, the word repent, when we talk about God. When the Bible says that God repented or he relented, it does not mean God changed. For a man to repent, Scripture says that it's a word that says a man repents, he has to change his direction. But it's different when Scripture talks about God repenting. The word for God repenting is a word in Hebrew called nacham. Can you try that? Nacham! Yeah, that's great. We're all Hebrews. But that word actually means to have a kind of feeling. It means to feel sorrow or to have pain, almost to have regret. And that's the key idea of the word repent for God. When it says that God repented, it's saying that God felt sad about his people. He felt sorrow for what he was going to do. And so what did he do? He didn't do what he said he was going to do. What is that? Well, we need to understand also that God already knows what he's going to do, especially when he makes an announcement. There's two things that we need to understand here. When God says he's going to do something, there's two kinds of ways that he says it. One is a promise. And the second is an announcement. The one is a promise. The second is an announcement. And when God promises something, it's guaranteed. It will come to pass. And it's very clear in Scripture that when God promises something, it's very clear in how it's worded. That when God makes a promise, you understand that it's not going to change. It's going to come true. It's going to come to pass. That's a promise. But there are also many times in Scripture where God will make an announcement. And it sounds a little bit like a promise, but it's not, because it's very clear in the way that it's written that it's an announcement. So when God talks to Moses, he says, "I'm going to wipe out Israel," it wasn't a promise. It was an announcement. And when God says to Nineveh, through the prophet Jonah, that "I'm going to wipe out the city of Nineveh," it was not a promise. It was an announcement. And when God makes an announcement, there's something very important that we need to remember. And that is, when he makes an announcement, it comes with a big word. And that is "if." The word "if." "I am going to wipe out Israel if they keep turning away from me." "I'm going to wipe out Israel, Moses, if you don't start talking to me and convince me that I shouldn't do it. I'm going to wipe out Nineveh if they continue to walk in sin and turn away from me." And so when God was telling Moses, "I'm going to wipe them out," he was telling Moses, "I want you to pray for them. I want you to intercede for your people, Moses. I want you to lift them up and care for them It's my will, not that they should be wiped out. It's my will that you should care for them. And God, Moses was accomplishing his will, God's will, by praying and seeking God's face for them. So it wasn't that God, it wasn't that Moses or Jonah was trying to change the mind of God. God already knew what was going to happen. I want to share this illustration. I have a system in my school where I have three tests in one semester. You have test number one, test number two, and then test number three, which is the final exam. Those of you who are teachers, you know what I'm talking about. Test one, test two, and a final exam. Now let's say that I have a student who takes test one, and he just flops, does a terrible job, gets a terrible grade on test number one. And then he says, okay, Chris Sensei, you know, okay, test two, in 1 month, I'm going to do my best, I'm going to study, do my homework, I'll do better on test two. So test two comes, and what happens? He does terrible again, right? And you all probably have students who do that. Just a bad job on test number two. So I say to him, look, test number one, you had this score. It was bad. Test number two, you had this score. Just as bad. Look, I'm going to fail you. You're not going to pass my class. I'm going to give you a failing grade, frugoka. Now, do I want to fail him? No. Am I going to? It depends, right? If he doesn't study, if he continues to just be an idiot. So what does he do? He goes, okay, all right, I need to pass Chris's class. So he goes home, he studies, he does his homework, he reviews the lessons after class and at home. He wakes up early in the morning to practice his vocabulary. And when the final exam, test number three, comes together, boom, he passes it perfectly. He gets the full score. He's got the perfect score, and it's enough to make him pass. It outweighs the other two tests to where he can pass the class. And so what do? I do what's fair. I do what is just. And as I pass, I give him the passing grade. Oh, but Chris, you said you were going to fail him. You said he wasn't going to pass. Did you change your mind? Or did I? I told him I was going to fail him so that he would turn it around and do the right thing. God says, Israel, I'm going to wipe you out. And so what does Moses do? He says, no, God, no, they're going to turn it around. They're going to do the right thing. Have mercy on them for your name's sake. And God says, that's right. That's what I want. And he lets them pass. Same thing with Nineveh. Same thing with the other passages. God never changes. His love, his passion, his patience remains forever. His love endures forever. He is not a God that changes. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So, just one thing I'd like for us to be encouraged with today is this. My job for you as your pastor is two things. One, to teach the scriptures, and two, to pray for you. I want you to know that I pray for you every single day. Every single day, I lift you up before the Lord. And this week, I'm praying that like God, you also will be slow to anger, full of compassion, and full of grace, abounding in love. Why? Because God has given you his spirit. God has given you the ability to be slow to anger, full of compassion. Oh, but Chris, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I have to put up with. Chris, you don't know what I have to go through every day. You're right, I don't. I really don't. I don't know your situation. But I do know your salvation. I know your Savior. And I know that he has put his spirit in you to give you victory, to give you hope, and to give you another chance so that you can be slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in love, just as our Father is for us. And that is my prayer for you this week. I hope you will be encouraged by that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you this hot July afternoon. Lord, it's hot outside, but some of us are burning on the inside, going through our difficulties, going through our struggles. And Lord, we don't know if we're going to make it. We just need a little bit of air conditioning. And Lord, we come to you with our questions. We come to you with our issues. Father, we thank you, believing that your love, your grace, your compassion for us is sufficient to give us the strength that we need to overcome our difficulties and our barriers, to have victory in our life. We thank you so much for the daily bread that you give to us, Lord, of your love. We thank you so much that your love never fails, that it never changes. And that, Lord, although we may stray far from you, although we may feel so far away, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you so much for this. In Jesus' name, amen.